2 hours before dawn, Smoke Jensen considered that the optimum time had come for his move to recover his horses and free the Olsons. All during the night, while he waited and mentally rehearsed his actions, the sky to the northwest had grown incredibly black, and huge columns rose to blot out the stars. Smoke had cast his gaze in that direction more often as the hours wore on. Conscious of the impending storm, Smoke made a quick revise in his plans. When the thunder grew even closer, he used it to muffle his movements as he closed in on the slumbering gang. A searing flash of fork-tailed white split the sky asunder as Smoke Jensen stepped into the clearing where the gang lay. Fat drops fell wetly upon everyone and everything in sight. The torrent descended at a rate of 3 inches per hour, too fast to allow much water to sink into the parched ground. Rather, it ran off to form miniature streams that gushed and gurgled. Smoke turned his back on most of the outlaws and froze in place. The rustlers wisely moved away from any trees, natural targets for lightning strikes. In doing so, they exposed themselves to even more danger. Suddenly, barter-sized hail slashed down to bruise and punish flesh, even that covered by thick woolen blankets. Quickly, the ice balls covered the ground with a 2-inch thick carpet of white.
Damn!
Smoke eased his way out of a camp that was quickly becoming aroused. Men had to be called out to help contain the herd, or the storm would scatter them. His plan would have to wait for a better time. By dawn, the tempest was only a memory. After containing the livestock and waiting out the half hour of determined rain, the soaking wet rustlers couldn't get settled down in soggy blankets. Instead, they took dry wood from under the chuck wagon and the Olsen wagon and kindled a large roaring fire, then stood close to dry themselves. From his hidden vantage point, Smoke Jensen observed the morning ritual. When the first faint streaks of gray bloomed in the east, outlaw voices could be clearly heard.
You're right. Not a sign of him.
You sure? No chance he's hiding?
None at all.
Turn out some of the men and widen the search.
From his observation place, Smoke Jensen studied the flamboyant figure of Reno Jim Urien. Again, he felt a flash of having seen the man somewhere in the past. Following the exchange, the camp began to fume with activity. Several men rushed about, peering behind bushes and into small ravines. Still others grabbed up their horses and set out in widening circles around the campsite. Curious as to the reason, Smoke left his concealed spot to move in on a pair of searchers who sat their mounts and looked back along the trail they had covered the previous day. One of them removed his hat and mopped his brow. High humidity left by the rain combined with a burning sun to make it feel much hotter than the regular temperature.
Damn that little brat! I'll bet he hauled his butt along our back trail!
Yeah, Evans, you might be right. He smacked Phipps over the head with something, took his gun, and stole a horse. Damn, how I hate a horse thief!
That set Smoke to thinking along the correct trail. They had to be talking about Tommy Olsen. Gutsy little guy must have clobbered one of them and made an escape. Smoke pondered that a moment. Why hadn't he taken his mother and the girls? He would have to find the boy to learn that answer, and there was no time like now to start. It would make it easier if he no longer had to go afoot. To solve that immediate problem, he must seek out a lone searcher. Smoke did find himself one. 20 minutes later and 3 miles from the outlaw camp. Oblivious to Smoke's presence, Ainsley Burke ambled his mount past where the last mountain man lay in the buffalo grass that grew belly high to a horse. When Burke presented his back to Smoke, the lean, hard man came to his boots and uncoiled his powerful leg muscles. He vaulted onto the rump of Ainsley Burke's dapple gray, his Colt Peacemaker in hand and ready. It collided with the side of Burke's head and sent him off to sleepy time. Smoke shoved the unconscious Burke forward onto the neck of his horse, tied the outlaw's hands behind his back, and unceremoniously dumped Burke from the saddle. With a horse under him again, Smoke felt much better. Even if it was a knot-headed gelding, it would make do. At once, Smoke Jensen set off in search of Tommy Olsen. Tommy Olsen regretted his rash action when three of the outlaws struck his trail and came hard after him. He'd been riding all night, and his stolen horse was on its last legs. Still, Tommy ran him from gully to gully and over yet another ridge in his effort to evade capture. Inexorably, the hard cases closed in on him. In a last desperate effort, Tommy began to take shots at him. He had eared back the hammer once again when a fourth outlaw appeared behind the others, riding hard to close the gap. His fourth bullet kicked up dust at the four hooves of the lead bandit's horse. The animal reared in fright. Tommy cocked the Colt again. When he started to take sight, he saw a puff of smoke appear at the end of the trailing rider's arm. Oh! The thug nearest to the stranger arched his back and then flung forward off his mount to land face first on the ground. And then that stranger ceased to be an unknown for Tommy Olsen. It had to be Smoke Jensen. That left the remaining three who rode hard toward Tommy. Tommy clipped the hat from the head of one man, then prepared to fire his final round. A moment later, they closed on the boy and surrounded him, though not for long. Smoke Jensen was soon among the remaining men.
Oh, Smoke, am I glad to see you?
I imagine so. They're bound to have heard those shots back in camp. Let's gather up the horses and hightail it out of here.
You mean we're gonna run?
Just so. I counted a tad over 30 men in the camp last night.
More like 42 by my count, but still we gotta get Ma and my sisters out of there.
We will, but not if 40-some hard cases fall on us like these did. We need to be well out of sight by the time they get here. And these extra horses will help confuse them as to who we are and where we went. We'll tie bodies on each of them so they'll have the weight of a man.
Why do we need to do that?
To confuse them, Tommy. Even outlaws have smarts enough to be able to tell if a horse is carrying a rider or not. We'll take them out a mile or two, and then send them off in different directions. They'll make the rustlers think there's a whole lot of us and we split up.
Oh, you're right, smart, Smoke. You think it'll work?
If it doesn't, we'll be up to our ears in outlaws before nightfall. Now get going.
20 minutes later, they rode away. The outlaws slung over their individual saddles. Quick look downward gave Smoke Jensen the satisfaction of noting the authentic appearance of the tracks left behind. Frequent checks of the back trail showed no sign of close pursuit. Sundown found Smoke and Tommy in a cold camp amid a heaped mound of boulders. They had with them the three outlaw horses, which had not strayed far from their course during the day. They had left the wounded hard cases tied up on the ground before they abruptly changed directions and headed northward back toward the camp. While they munched on biscuits and fatback taken from two pair of outlaw saddlebags, Smoke listened to Tommy's account of his escape.
I had gotten this rock, see? It was to use if any of them decided to pester my Ma or the girls. Oh, they'd talked about that before, and I knew what they meant. I figured to clobber one and get his gun. So when that storm broke out, I wondered, why not get a gun and a horse and come find you? It worked, sort of. Oh, one other thing. That feller with you, Utah Jack? Well, he's a turncoat. Seems he was working with the rustlers all along. I'd like to fix him good.
His time will come right enough. Now, let me tell you how I figure we're going to be getting your mother and sisters out of there.
For the next 25 minutes, Smoke went over in detail what he had in mind. He emphasized what he expected of Tommy by two repetitions and concluded with a third.
You'll take the three extra horses to the spot I determined to be the best and hold them there for your family. You're going to do nothing, absolutely nothing else. Now repeat that for me.
Tommy did, and Smoke pressed him even further.
Is that clear? No room open for second-guessing what I expect of you, Tommy.
It's clear, sir. I'll do what you say.
Good. We'll be ready to head out at 1 a.m. Now roll up and get some sleep.
That night, Smoke Jensen escorted Tommy Olsen to a strategic spot near the outlaw camp. He spoke briefly of the importance of controlling the three spare horses they had brought along.
Keep a tight rein on them, Tommy. When I scatter the remount herd, Many of them will head this way.
I'll do it, Smoke.
Good. You won't have much doubt when things get started.
With that, Smoke faded into the blackness and headed for the new camp. Due to the search for Tommy and their missing men, the gang had moved the horses less than 50 miles that day. Smoke's first task was the same as the previous night. He located two outriders easily. They sat their horses, faced inward to the remounts, oblivious to any threat from outside. One rolled a cigarette while they talked about inconsequentials. Smoke dismounted and approached stealthily through the tall grass. Smoke Jensen chose that moment to leap atop the rump of the horse Norm rode. Arms extended, he grabbed each outlaw by the side of his head and slammed them together with enough violence to ensure they would stay unconscious for a long while. When Smoke released the hapless pair, they fell to the ground. Smoke tied the insensible men hand and foot to their saddles. He led the horses off a distance and tied them to a sage bush. That accomplished, he set off to find more of the herd guards. Smiling Dave Winters had little use for night herd duty. He looked upon himself as a leader, not a flunky. At least three of the men in his section of the gang had caught this turn with him. He had not encountered any difficulty in ordering around the other five, which allowed him to make a circuit of the entire herd in a casual, relaxed mood. That was until he discovered two men missing. Neither of them patrolled the sector he had been assigned to. At first, it didn't cause him any concern. With the horses quieted, no doubt they had wandered off to jaw with another of the sentries. Then he recalled who this herd was supposed to belong to. If true, there could be something very wrong with these missing men. He became convinced of that when he found a third of the herd tenders swinging from a tree limb at the end of a rope tied around his ankles. Quickly, Smiling Dave dismounted and hurried to the side of this apparition. Hank Benson had been gagged and his hands bound behind him. A quick look around failed to reveal to Smiling Dave a darker, more substantial shadow among the many that surrounded him. With one hand on the butt of his six-gun, Smiling Dave reached for his sheath knife. The loop of a lariat settled over his shoulders. Before he could react, it yanked tight, pinning his arms at his sides. The bite end of the rope went over the same tree limb that suspended Hank Benson, and Smiling Dave Winters rose into the air. His hat went flying as his forehead struck the turf. He sensed light tugs that indicated the free end had been secured around the tree trunk. Then, a human form, which appeared to be upside down to Smiling Dave, walked into view. The stranger deftly removed the weapons from the captive and studied his face closely.
You're the one who put a bullet in Jerry Harkness and killed one of my hands. Then you smacked me in the head with a rifle butt.
Who are you?
I'm Smoke Jensen, and you are a dead man.
Smoke used Smiling Dave's own knife to slit the outlaw's throat. Then Smoke headed off to find the rest of the herd tenders. Smoke Jensen had but a little distance to go in order to locate another sentry. He glided up behind him while the man stood on the ground, easing cramped leg muscles. He tied the unconscious man and relieved him of his weapons, too. Then he glided off afoot to locate more. By 1:30 in the morning, Smoke had located all but the final sentry. That outlaw sat as mount, one leg cocked up around the pommel of his saddle, rolling a quirly. Smoke eased in close.
Could you use a cup of coffee?
You bet. I'm obliged.
The man leaned forward as Smoke reached out with his left hand. When the thug's head reached the proper level, Smoke swung his right arm and laid the barrel of his .45 Colt alongside the outlaw's cranium. Swiftly, Smoke Jensen secured him and started for the distant camp, his goal the picket line. On the way, he worked through the remounts until he found his Palouse stallion, Coop. The spotted rump horse followed Smoke without need of a halter or reins. At the picket line, Smoke went from one animal to another, undoing the ropes that held him to the tether. He left Cougar there with a borrowed bridle. and skirted the camp beyond the orange glow cast by the bed of coals. He emerged from the darkness when he reached the Olsen wagon. Smoke awakened Delia first, with a hand over the mouth to prevent a cry of alarm.
Quiet. It's me.
Smoke eased his grip, and she glanced left to verify that it was indeed him.
I came to get you away from here. Wake the girls and meet me out there in the dark, just beyond your wagon.
But our possessions! Our wagon!
Would you rather it be your lives?
Smoke remained behind to cover their escape. When the youngest Olsen girl disappeared into the darkness, Smoke withdrew from the edge of the camp. He found them huddled together at the base of a gnarled cottonwood and led them to the picket line, where he lifted the girls atop two of the outlaws' horses. They settled astraddle with accustomed ease. Then, Smoke turned to assist Delia.
I've not ridden bareback since I was a little girl.
You'll remember how easy enough.
Delia hoisted the hem of her nightdress, placed a foot lightly in his grasp, and grabbed a handhold in the mane of the horse. Smoke vaulted to the back of Cougar and turned to take in the Olsons.
Now what?
Now, we stampede the herd.
Then we're going to need a way to guide these beasts.
Delia bent forward and formed a reasonably good hackamore out of the tie rope. With a steady hand, she eased over to her daughters and did the same for them, then spoke softly.
You girls stay close by me, hear?
They nodded, and Delia turned to Smoke.
We're ready.
Smoke drew his right hand 45 Colt and eared back the hammer. Taking care to keep the Olsons in sight, Smoke pushed the herd from behind. The terrain proved an ally as the startled animals swerved to avoid rock outcrops and disastrous ravines. Thus channeled, the horses streamed toward where Tommy waited with the saddled mounts. So far, Smoke thought, not a bad night's work. Smoke Jensen wasted not a second longer than required to retrieve his saddle and remount the Olsons on saddled horses. Then he gave them hurried instructions on how to bring the stampeding horses under some form of control. Over the days they had been together, Smoke had come to accept the fact that Tommy Olson was mature beyond his years. He entrusted the left flank to Tommy and his mother. He took the two girls with him on the right flank. With only swing riders, it would be difficult. Yet Smoke trusted that the terrain of the foothills, which now narrowed the trail, would be to their advantage. Which set Smoke to thinking about another matter. If they continued to Powder River Pass, it stood to reason that the rustlers would jump them again. They could head north to Granite Pass, which would bypass Buffalo on the far side, where the Olsons wanted to go. Or they could turn west, which would take them far from the Crow Agency in Fort Custer. All three courses had advantages, but the disadvantages outweighed choosing the lower altitude Powder River Pass. Silently, Smoke pondered his choices through the night. When the faintest gray ribbon spanned the eastern horizon, Smoke called a halt on the bank of the North Fork of the Powder River. By then, the horses had lost their fright and settled down in loose bunches under the herd leader and his subordinates. Comfortingly, to Smoke's way of seeing it, the largest gather, some 70 animals, led the pack. Stop would do everyone good, even the critters. At least they did not need any supervision to walk mincingly into the shallows and drink from the river. In the cool mountain breeze, their coats steamed and their breath fogged the air. Smoke shared out some cold, hard biscuits and strips of jerky. He and the Olsons munched them industriously while the herd drank. At last, Smoke spoke what was on his mind.
We've covered what I reckon to be 15 miles from where we left the rustlers. I think we should get some rest here, then move on. Sleep a while if you can.
Oh, I'm much too exhilarated to sleep. Goodness, getting rescued is certainly exciting. Now, have you figured out what we're going to do for food?
After everyone gets the hang of handling the herd on the move, Tommy can take off and hunt for game. There's wild bulbs and plants we can gather also. No one has ever starved out here unless the weather was against them, or they were just plain stupid.
Did you ever eat pine nuts, Smoke?
Ah, yes, many times.
My
Sven was exceedingly fond of them.
They're a good source of energy.
With that revelation, they continued to eat in silence until the first thin slice of orange slid above the eastern horizon. With that growing, Smoke roused a lightly slumbering Tommy Olsen and called the family together.
We're going to do this a little differently today, Delia. You and your youngest will take the right wing. Tommy the left with Sarah Jane. I'll ride drag.
With only a boy, a woman, and two small girls to control the herd, Smoke found little to celebrate beyond the rescue of the Olsens, of course. In daylight, with the horses refreshed and tested, difficulties began to crop up almost at once. First to impinge on Smoke's quiet reverie were the rebellious outlaw horses.
Yeah, yeah! Get back there! Get back!
Tommy streaked along the left flank of the herd in pursuit of four fractious mounts with minds of their own. Smoke veered to cut off the runaways. He and Tommy managed to contain three of them. The fourth put its tail in the air and streaked between them, back in the direction from which they had come.
Oh, fuck!
Better not let your mother hear you say that. We're gonna lose more than one of those horses. They belong to the rustlers, and we'll try to break away every chance they get.
But they're worth some money!
No, they don't wear my brand, and I can't sell them to the army. The idea is to keep them out of the hands of the gang long enough for us to get clean away. And with this herd, that'll be hard to do.
I thought maybe I could sell them and get a stake for Ma.
Generous idea, though it would make you a horse thief.
Do you think those guys paid for their nags?
Probably. Out here, they still hang a man for stealing horses.
Imagine that. Rustlers buying their mounts.
Now that's settled. I think we should cut out all of their animals and send them off in odd directions.
Why, Smoke?
Once the critters take it into mind to run off, the others will jump at the chance, too. We don't have the manpower to round up the entire herd if that happens.
Well, sure, but how do we find the right ones?
My remounts haven't been shot. Look for those horses with shoes.
With that as a guide, Tommy soon cut out 23 broom tails and scattered them to the winds. Seven more refused to budge from the herd. Smoke appeared satisfied with that and rode on, wondering what would happen next. Tommy Olsen discovered their next setback when they had advanced into the high, steep pass. Ahead of him, the leaders turned about and began to mill among the horses that came after him. He trotted forward, only to return at twice the speed, his eyes wide.
Smoke! There's a big old tree up there, falling across the trail!
Does it look like someone cut it down?
Nah, it's dead. I think it just fell over.
I have a devil of a time getting it moved.
Yeah, no saws or an axe.
We do have ropes. Plenty of horses. If we fasten onto some larger limbs, we can maybe pull it away.
We'll watch the herd.
Your mother and the girls.
Tommy made a face. Smoke stopped laughing when he got a good look at that downed tree. A large old pine, which if it had not been dead a long time, would have weighed tons. Even in its present condition, Smoke harbored a small doubt as to whether they could move it. Well, he had little choice, so he set about it with a will. Smoke put Delia and the girls behind the herd to calm and hold them in peace. Then, he and Tommy cut out three of the remounts and took ropes from each saddle. In Smoke's direction, Tommy fastened the ends of the lariats to stout branches high up the trunk. Smoke fitted the loop ends over the necks of the three horses, then took a fourth and did a dally around his saddle horn.
Get your horse, Tommy, and dally off that last rope. Then, we do a little pulling.
Smoke! They're trying to push past us!
Walk your horse into a few of them. Shove them back.
I wish I had a buggy whip!
Yeah, break a leaf branch off a tree. Don't hit any of the horses with it. Just swish it in front of their noses. Should work.
After a longer delay, while Smoke and Tommy readied the animals for their pull...
It's working, Smoke! They're turning back!
Smoke gave Tommy a nod, and they slapped the rumps of the three unsaddled horses with their reins. All five creatures lunged into the effort. The lariats went taut, one vibrating with enough force to give off a low hum. The rope stretched and the animal strained into the burden. Quickly, the man and boy halted the remounts and their own horses. Fists on hips, Smoke inspected the opening. It was disappointing at best. Barely three horses at a time could squeeze by the sheer wall of a pass and the obstruction of the tree. But that would have to do, Smoke noted, because the thick trunk had jammed tightly against the boulder at the side of the trail. He looked back at Tommy.
Let's get him headed up and moving through. We've lost more time than we can afford.
Glancing off at the horizon, Reno Jim Urien produced the first smile he had worn since the herd had been run off. Five men astride unsaddled horses trotted toward him. He estimated that the drove had a two-day lead on them, provided they could find the animals again. He had to admit he had greatly underestimated this Smoke Jensen. Reno Jim reviewed what he knew of the man then. Few on the frontier, or back east for that matter, had not heard of Smoke Jensen. Thanks to the proliferation of dime novels, Smoke had been a legendary figure long before he went on that lecture tour in New England and New York City. Not that his trip had lasted for long. Trouble had come looking for Smoke Jensen, and he had quickly obliged. That much Urien had read in the San Antonio newspaper in an account that had lasted over several days. In an amused tone, its first installment recounted a chase through Central Park with picnickers scattered and food crushed beneath the hooves of several animals. In his usual manner, the reporter had recounted, Smoke Jensen ended the altercation with a blazing six-gun. Someone like that could be real trouble. Yet Reno Jim had discounted it as sensationalism. Well now, by dang, it seems Smoke Jensen was indeed larger than life. Mean as a wet bobcat. Reno Jim abandoned his dark reflections to hail the approaching riders.
You done good, as far as it goes. Any sign of more of the horses?
Yep, seen a few, but they shied. Thing is, boss, they ain't coming from Powder River Pass. They showed up north of this trail.
Well then, saddle up and get out here and round up as many as you can. We're going after that herd. Smoke Jensen might be mean as hell, but he's only one man.
By nightfall, Smoke Jensen and the herd had reached the 8,950-foot summit of Granite Pass. Tommy had bagged four plump squirrels. He was having difficulty removing their skins. At one point, he looked up at Smoke Jensen, blood on both hands, one cheek, and his little square chin.
Why do these squirrels have to have their hides attached by so many of these darn thongs?
They're not thongs, Tommy. Those are erectile tissue. Squirrels need them to bunch up their skin in cold weather.
Gosh, how did you learn all that stuff?
From Preacher. He knew all about animals. And at one time, there was a larger market for squirrels' hides than beaver. Here, let me show you an easier way.
Smoke started at the back of the animal and made a long cut from bung to neck, then worked the skinning knife in under one side. He cut through the elastic retractors down one side, reversed the blade, and severed the opposite ones. He peeled back the hide and did the back.
There. Think you can do it like that?
Sure, let me at it.
You've got to gut this one first. Then I'll put it on fire to roast.
Smoke took the carcass and doused it in the crystal stream that burbled over smooth stones alongside the trail. Then he began to thread it onto a green stick. For a second, he flashed back 4 days to when he did the same with an 8-foot rattler. He'd given the huge rattle, there were 11 buttons, to Tommy. The boy wrapped it in a strip of cloth and shoved it deep in one pocket of his overalls. A good thing, too, Smoke thought. Out in the open, it would have the horses spooked all the time. Delia came over while Smoke propped the squirrel over the coals.
Smoke, I wonder if there's anything we can do to get washed off. The girls and I, that is. We've been taking on a goodly lot of dust of late, and, well, I feel grimy.
You can go down there around the bend and wash to your heart's content.
But who'll guard us from wild animals or men from coming along?
Take Tommy's little rifle. You can stand watch while the girls bathe. Then Sarah Jane can be lookout for you.
There doesn't seem to be much privacy that way.
Well, it's the best we've got. After you finish, Tommy and I can take our turns.
If you knew that boy like I do, you'd be in there with him. It's near impossible to get him out of the water.
Cold as this is, I doubt it'll be a problem.
Delia and her daughter's cleanup lasted only a scant 5 minutes. The three came back with a rosy glow from the icy water. Smoke went next and wisely stripped only to the waist to wash away the accumulated dust. The snow melt stung his skin and sent shivers along his spine. Tommy had finished the last squirrel when Smoke returned. Eagerly, the boy headed for the bend. Delia had been right about her son, Smoke noted, when he clocked Tommy at a full 15 minutes before he reappeared.
I thought you'd frozen solid.
No, it was just right. Though it would have been better with the sun shining. Oh, I'm hungry.
How much longer?
3, maybe 4 more days. We'll be on the Crow Reservation by then. Before mid-morning, we'll reach the summit. I want to take a half day's rest. It's all downhill from there.
I thought we were going to Buffalo first.
Can't risk it, Delia. Reno Jim Urien and his gang will be laying for us on that trail. Even if they don't recover any of their mounts, they know Buffalo is the closest place to get more. Then they'll be after us.
Hazy sunlight bathed the schoolhouse in Muddy Gap. Inside, classes went on as usual. Outside, Brandon Kelso presented a far different agenda to his companions Willie Finch and Danny Collins. Only the day before, he had been released from jail by Marshall Larson. His father had promptly boxed his ears for allowing himself to be caught in such a stupid way. Now, he planned to get revenge.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go in there and run all the kids out. Then we take care of that smart-ass school marm.
How are we gonna do that?
Brandon grabbed his crotch and grinned wickedly.
You just follow my lead.
With that, he marched to the front steps and climbed to the stoop. Jenny Parkins looked up sharply to find her nemesis framed in the opening. She bit her lip in trepidation, then recalled the message that had accompanied her gift from Smoke Jensen.
You can march yourself out of here this minute, Brandon Kelso.
Nah, ain't gonna do that. All you kids get out of here. This is a school holiday.
Yeah, everybody out. Excepting you, prison pants.
That's right. Scatter. All of you. Not you, though. We're gonna give you something you have obviously never had. But you'll surely appreciate it once we're through with you.
Backed against the blackboard, Virginia Parkins fought panic as she sought some means to defend herself. She grasped a piece of chalk and hurled it at the face of her tormentor. Nimbly, Jenny slipped under his grasping arms and dashed for her desk. Fighting to control her movements, she yanked open the top drawer and whipped out the small .38 Smith & Wesson given her by Smoke Jensen. Second smashed into Brandon's right kneecap and shattered it. Jenny turned her wrath on the other two.
Take this little monster and get out of my school. Do it now, or I'll shoot you too.
That won't be necessary, Miss Jenny.
Marshall Larson stood in the open door, his shotgun held purposefully in both hands.
I saw them headed this way, and I thought I should come along and see what they had in mind.
Well, I'm glad you did, Marshall. They had every intention of... having their way with me. Oh!
There'll not be any problem to you ever again, Miss Jenny. I'll take them from here.
Arrest her, Marshall! She shot me for no good reason at all!
Shut up, you little bastard, or I'll use this shotgun to remove some of your teeth. Danny, Willie, carry this filth out of here. You're all going to jail.
Smoke had halted shortly after halting at the summit of Granite Pass and running a single-strand rope fence around the remount herd. 10 minutes later, grinning Tommy Olsen walked out of the stand of aspen that graced one side slope of the passage through the Bighorn Mountains.
I need a horse.
What for?
I bagged us a deer.
I should have seen to it that we got here sooner. A rack of venison ribs sounds mighty good right now.
Which horse should I take?
How big is a deer?
Tommy described the creature with a wide swing of his arms. Smoke nodded and pointed to one of the purloined outlaw horses.
Take that one. He's the calmest of the lot. I'd get your mother started on making preparations. Then go hunt down some wild onions and turnips. We can make stew out of the tougher parts of the legs.
Ah, sounds good. I'm hungry now.
You're always hungry.
Smoke, when we get to the reservation, will we see some real wild Indians?
The Crow are not all that wild. Never have been. They took a friendly outlook to us whites. They provided scouts for the armies for years. They can just about kill you with hospitality if you happen upon them during one of their social dances. They'll stuff you with food, heap tobacco on you, drag you into the dance circle, and they give you a place of honor to sleep in the lodge.
Lots of whiskey, I bet.
Given their choice, most Injuns shun liquor. They don't have much tolerance for it.
What's tolerance?
In this case, it means being able to hold their whiskey. And many Injuns can't. To most, it's like any of their other white man's diseases. In a way, it's a good thing. Someone has to stay sober out here.
Well, you don't seem to miss strong drink much, Smoke.
Never developed a fondness for it. I drink a little whiskey, though, not enough to make a saloon keeper a profit. And two or three beers is my limit.
I don't think I'll ever drink.
None of us knows for sure what we'll do later in life. But good for you if you stick to it. You know, the Germans call beer liquid bread. They don't think of it as liquor.
Then maybe I'll have some liquid bread when I grow up.
Smoke handed him his rifle. After the boy trotted away, Smoke realized exactly how good some roasted venison would taste. Well fed on venison, and with the humans and animals alike rested, Smoke Jensen sent his amateur drovers down the trail that descended the northeast slopes of the Bighorn Mountains. Spirits remained high. Confident in their improving ability to manage the horses, Smoke put Tommy on drag and rode on ahead to scout the terrain they had to cover. He had gone some 5 miles from the herd when he came upon two rather large men who took their ease outside a stretched canvas lean-to. Both had rifles ready at hand and revolvers stuck into the waistband of their trousers. Smoke counted 3 on one of them. Smoke reined in and greeted him in a friendly manner.
Howdy to you too, mister. Sort of off the beaten track, ain't you?
Could say the same for you two, I suppose.
This here's our land, mister. We got papers filed and all over to Sheridan way.
An ambitious undertaking. You're waiting for the trees to grow to build a cabin?
Rather than take it in good humor, the large man glowered and roused himself to reveal a Cheyenne backrest that had been hidden by his slab shoulders.
That ain't none of your business, but it is ours as to what you're doing on our place.
Didn't know anyone had homesteaded on this way. But as it happens, I'm driving a herd of remounts north to Fort Custer.
And you think you can bring them through here?
That's what I had in mind.
Well, then, they'll be the matter of a little toll.
Yeah, say 2 bits ahead.
I think not. This trail is a public thoroughway.
You sound like a lawyer.
I don't need a lawyer for this. The trail has been used freely since the Indians first got horses. We go through, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Then we shut down the trail and shoot your horses!
He lunged at Smoke, who did not even wait to dismount. Instead, he pulled one boot free of the stirrup and kicked the huge lout flush in the face.
Oh, my God, Jake! He hurt me!
Jake, who apparently did not have the same confidence in his size, made an even more costly mistake. He went for one of the revolvers at his waist.
Look, I don't want to kill you, but I will. Ease that iron to the ground.
And if I don't?
Your friend here can bury you.
A real gunfighter never pulls his piece unless he's gonna use it. I think you're all bluff.
He means it, Jake.
Ah! Shit, my arm!
Your friend was right. I did mean it. Now, shall we settle the question of a toll? If you fence off the trail or take even one shot at any of these horses, I'll kill you both. In fact, if I even see either of your faces while we're passing, I'll kill you. Do we understand one another?
Shame-faced, silent nods answered Smoke. Cowed for the time being, he turned away while Smoke Jensen rode back in the direction from which he had come. Defeated for now, Smoke knew full well he would have to be watchful of him when the herd came through first thing in the morning. Even the canvas lean-to had disappeared when Smoke Jensen and the Olsons brought the herd down out of the pass and through the land claimed by Jake and his huge friend. On a still slightly downhill grade, the wisdom of a half-day rest proved itself. By 1 o'clock that afternoon, Smoke estimated they had covered 25 miles. At that rate, they would reach the main trail north from Sheridan by evening. It couldn't be too soon, Smoke acknowledged. He saw only one drawback to this increase in size. The dust kicked up by the horses formed a gigantic cloud that rose skyward on a breeze from the southwest. That blocked his forward view, but it kept a lot of it off the drag rider, a position Smoke chose for himself when the gate picked up to a quick trot. Like old hands, the Olsons kept their herd in a long, narrow gather that only occasionally spilled over the edges of the traceway. Shortly before 4 that afternoon, his expectation of a 40-mile day assured, Smoke looked beyond the herd to see 3 men riding toward him.
Tommy, come back and take the drag. I'm going to go find out who those men are.
Tommy looked forward, then back at Smoke, his face puzzled. He hadn't seen any riders. But if Smoke said there were, well, they must be. When he reached Smoke's side, he received a nod.
Keep them moving!
Smoke reached the front of the herd with only 30 yards separating him from the mounted men. He had no problem with recognizing a smiling Ahab Trask in the lead. Trask snatched his hat from his head and gave an enthusiastic, friendly wave.
What are you doing coming at us from this direction?
Slight detour. I managed to steal back the herd.
So I see. Who are your new hands?
Family named Olson. Their ranch was raided by the same gang that rustled the horses. Delia, that's the woman's name, told me that she and her son Tommy recognized the leader the first time they saw him.
Dang if that don't beat all.
Where are the rest, Trask?
Over on the Sheridan Trace. We saw your dust and came over from there. It's only a couple of miles ahead. We could only get 7 men. They're borrowed from a rancher south of Sheridan who thinks highly of you. He'd also heard about the troubles in Muddy Gap.
That gives me 10 more than I've had for the last 3 days. Send Bolt back for them, and we'll get headed for Fort Custer before bedding down for the night.
Any chance of those rustlers coming after you?
Only if they found enough of their horses.
Once settled down in camp with introductions made around, Smoke found he liked the cut of these hands. They had worked the herd expertly, relieving Delia and the girls of the necessity of keeping fractious animals in line. Smoke particularly liked the line foreman, Harper Liddy. Harp usually supervised the fence-mending crews for his boss, Solomon Blair, who owned the sprawling Leaning Tree Ranch. Smoke had heard of it. Blair was experimenting with the new English breed of Herefords. Squat and compact, the woolly-headed red and white cattle produced more usable meat than bone and hide and seemed to flourish on the high plains. Smoke had looked into raising them before changing to horses. All considered, he had no regret. If the Herefords, especially the males, were not docked, their horns removed, they tended to do considerable damage to one another, even if altered into steers. When the new men settled around the fire for coffee, Harp Liddy talked about the breed. Smoke looked up to see Trask pour coffee and come over to join him. Accustomed to working long hours and days without seeing another human being, Trask, like most ranch hands, did not say a lot. Only now did he bring up the subject of the missing hands.
There was 5 of you when I left to find help, Smoke. What happened?
We came upon the Holsons first. Then the rustlers found our camp. They killed all but Jerry Harkness and myself. Jerry was wounded, and I sent him off to get help. They should be joining us soon. Oh, and you taught Jack, who turned out to be with the gang.
That low-down snake. Did he kill any of the boys?
I can't say for sure. I nearly got my brains knocked out.
Smoke could have got them all, but he was trying to protect my ma.
Truth is, there were too many for me. We're headed out at first light. I'm going to turn in.
After Smoke left the fire, the new hands drifted to their bedrolls or to herd watch duty. In less than a quarter hour, silence held throughout the camp. Trudy Olson lay in the bed of the buckboard brought along for supplies by the Leaning Tree hands. She had already thrown up three times this morning and had been unable to control her bowels. She also complained of terrible thirst. Delia suspected that she had somehow contracted dysentery. The trick had been hard on all of them, more so on Gertrude. Delia worried most about Trudy, the youngest of her children. A thin girl, small for her age, Trudy had inherited her father's blonde hair and large, square hands. Her precarious health had definitely come from somewhere else. Colicky as a baby, she frequently took fevers and seemed to constantly have the sniffles, although that had markedly dried up since leaving the ranch. Delia had no idea why that was. She rode with her daughter now, a damp compress to the child's brow.
Mama, I feel sick again.
Could it be the water? Delia wondered. Tommy rode forward from his position on swing.
What's wrong with Trudy, Ma?
I don't know, Tommy.
Maybe I should get Smoke.
He's a lot of things, son, but he's not a doctor.
Is it that bad? Does she need a doctor?
I don't know. I think maybe so, Tommy. Yes, bring Smoke back here. I need to talk to him.
When Smoke arrived, Delia described the condition of her younger daughter. She concluded with an urgent appeal.
Please, can you route the herd past somewhere with the doctor?
I regret it, but I can't.
But why?
There's nowhere along this trail until we get to the Crow Agency. No settlement that I know of.
Then can't we turn back to Sheridan? It can't be more than a day's ride.
For someone on horseback, yes. But with the herd and this wagon...
Oh, please. Isn't there something you can do?
Smoke didn't answer. Most of the day, he had been seeing signs of engines close by. He had no desire to further alarm Delia, so he didn't mention that. For her part, Delia would not let it go so easily.
Can't I send Tommy back to Sheridan for the doctor?
I'm sorry. I can't even allow that.
You are absolutely heartless.
Still... Smoke would not speak of the potential danger.
Not the way I see it.
Less than a day behind the herd now, Reno Jim Urien and his 16 men came down out of the Granite Pass at a fast canter. Some 5 miles out on the prairie, they came upon the lean-to that sheltered Jake and his partner. The pair greeted Reno Jim as familiars.
Jake! Ludi! I haven't seen you boys in a while.
We got out of the outlawing business. Getting to be too many law dogs out this way.
You going soft?
No, nothing like that. Just figured it was time to settle down. Why, we even filed a homestead on this place. Got us a whole quarter section.
At least what of it the Indians don't camp on from time to time.
Would you fellas object to making some real cash money?
Who we have to kill for?
There may not be any killing. Do you have horses?
Yep. Speaking of horses, whole damn herd went through here a couple days back.
Those are the source of money I'm offering you. We're gonna steal them back.
You mean they's your horses?
Not really. We rustled them from some fellas who have them now, and then they stole them back. Far as we know, there's only one grown man, a woman, and 3 kids with the horses.
And that's all we saw with them.
Well, do you think that 19 of us can take the horses from them?
Don't see why not.
Tell Reno what the big fella did.
What was that?
Nothing at all.
He got the drop on us and runned us off.
No surprise. That fella is none other than Smoke Jensen.
Well then, Reno, you done lost your 2 extra guns. Ain't no way I'm going up against Smoke Jensen.
Oh, you astonish me, Jake. There's 18 of us. There's too many for even Smoke Jensen.
Oh, yeah? How is it, then, that he and a woman and some kids took Ned Herd from you, Reno?
Then stay here and eat grass if you're so yellow, you dumb son of a bitch. Come on, boys. We're wasting daylight.
With that, he turned his back on Ludi and Jake and trotted off.
I'm sure glad they're gone.
I'm just glad we didn't try to push it with Smoke Jensen.
Strain radiated from Delia Olson's face when she came to where Smoke Jensen squatted beside the cook fire.
Trudy is worse. And now Sarah Jane is looking a little peaked. Have you no pity? We could have been in Buffalo by now, and none of this would have happened.
Smoke nearly relented his refusal to allow Tommy to go after a doctor, in spite of his suspicion that they had been shattered by engines.
Engines!
Stay down, Delia. Make sure what you're shooting at, Tommy. There's some of ours out there, too.
Sure, Smoke. I'll watch careful. Yow!
An arrow thudded into the side of the wagon only 3 inches from Tommy Olson. Smoke aimed at the shooter. A quick check showed Smoke that the leaning tree hands had managed to channel what looked to be a little more than half of the remounts into a ravine, where they held them in a milling, confused mass. Suddenly, more engines charged into the clearing. Trask and Bolt stood back to back and laid down a withering fire that caused the Cheyennes opposite them to recoil and seek a softer spot. They found none as other off-duty hands doubled up to defend themselves. Men whirled around as frantically as the horses. Not many of the hastily fired rounds found a home in flesh. Smoke watched as the Cheyennes rallied to charge again. It could only be a matter of time. There were far too many. They were about to be swallowed up in screaming engines. Suddenly, the attack broke off. Swiftly, the Cheyennes deserted the field. Smoke could only stand and wonder. Then, he got his first clear look at the chief of the engine group. It was a man he knew well. Smoke quickly mounted up and rode over to the large engine chief.
I see you, Smoke Jensen.
And I see you, Ironclaw. Why are you stealing my horses?
Because they are here, and I did not know they were your horses. They will be returned, old friend.
Thank you, Ironclaw.
Have your winters been light?
Now you want to get sociable. Yes, my winters have not been a hardship.
I think of you often and ask the Great Spirit to watch over you and that black-haired wife. Your children are all grown?
Yes, except for a boy we adopted recently.
You are getting to be more Injun every time I see you. He is a good boy?
I think he is.
Then take your horses to where you were going and return to him, Smoke Jensen. Cheyenne will not harm you more.
They exchanged the sign for peace, and Ironclaw turned his mount. He raised his feather and brass tack decorated rifle to signal the dog soldiers. They all rode quietly away. Boyne Kelso stormed through the door of the sheriff's office. Fred Chase had a surprised look on his face.
Where's that idiot Larson?
He's at dinner. Over to the Iron Kettle. What's got you so riled?
You damned well ought to know. I want my boy out of jail this instant.
That ain't gonna happen, Mr. Kelso. Not with the charges against him.
And what might those be?
Well, we'll take the minor things first. Brandon is charged with trespass, forced entry of a building, first-degree assault, and worst of all, attempted rape.
What utter nonsense. My boy is not a criminal, nor is he depraved. Now get him out here so I can hear the truth of this.
He stays where he is. No exceptions.
Tell Larson I'll be back.
Boyne Kelso had been at the holding pens in Bent Rock Canyon, happily counting their growing profits, when one of the Urian gang brought word about his son being shot by Virginia Parkins and taken to jail by Marshal Larson. It had taken him 3 days to get back, and he'd be damned if it would take 1 minute more to free the boy. To do so, he would have to have help, he reasoned. With a darkening scowl, he recalled the impudent smirk on the face of Fred Chase. How dare that stupid clod defy him? He started at once to round up supporters. His first stop would be the mercantile.
What can I do for you, Deacon Kelso?
You can come along with me. That mad dog lawman Larson has locked up my son for absolutely nothing. And he's left orders that the boy's not to be let out for any reason. It came to me that a little moral persuasion is needed here.
But I have a store to run.
You've got clerks. I need you to back me.
Moyne made his next stop at the house of Mrs. Agatha Witherspoon, president of the local chapter of the Ladies' Temperance League. She also held Bible studies for the church. Kelso had calmed somewhat by the time he presented his case to her. Although well aware of the actual situation, Kelso invented facts to support his position. Grover Larson must have been successful in keeping the real events quiet, because Agatha Witherspoon reacted with genuine shock and indignation.
That's simply horrible. Why in the world would he do such a thing? Your boy was a little, brash at some times, but that's no excuse for someone to shoot him and put him in jail. Who is it that shot him?
The brazen, damned, unmarried woman who flaunts herself in front of our children in that schoolhouse.
Young Miss Parkins? Oh, I can't believe that. Oh, she's so gentle, so meek. She's at every Bible study, Bee, and I hear that her children adore her.
Well, I'll show you adore. She shot the kneecap off my son for no reason at all.
That's terrible. Oh, he must be in such pain. Has he seen a doctor?
He's in jail, Agatha. I don't know if the doctor's been to him or not. I'm not even allowed to visit him.
Oh, that will never do. Come along. We'll find Parson Frick. The marshal cannot deny him. He'll get a good doctor for your boy.
Sweeping regally down the street, the Witherspoon woman led the way to the parsonage. From there, they went to the home of Rachel Appleby, the choir director. Her husband, Tom, made an effort at objecting to precipitate action. He had heard a couple of rumors of late, and he had little use for that arrogant, pushy, spoiled brat, Brandon Kelso. But it did him little good. With Boyne Kelso's tale embroidered by Agatha Witherspoon, it galvanized Rachel Appleby into immediate partisanship. Parasol shading her from the broiling sun, she hoisted the hem of her ample skirts and joined the ranks. With his entourage in tow, Boyne Kelso returned to the jail. He stomped through the door with the church elders and minister and confronted a surprised Grover Larson.
I demand that you release my son at once, Larson.
Brushing up against Smoke Jensen must have given Grover Larson new backbone. He balled his fist and extended a thick index finger, which he jabbed at Boyne Kelso.
That no-account shiftless offspring of yours is in serious trouble.
Nonsense. He may behave foolishly at times, but he's innocent of any real dishonesty.
That's where you are wrong, Kelso. He's not innocent, neither are the other two who are locked up with him. Now get out of here.
You have three boys locked up in here? This is an outrage.
Not for what they're charged with.
And what is that?
He, Willie Finch, and Danny Collins made improper advances to Miss Jenny. Your son attacked her in an attempt to carry them out when she refused.
I don't believe that.
Why else do you think she shot him? He went after her in front of all the kids.
That's a goddamn lie! I'll have your badge for that within 24 hours, and I'm going to have the territorial attorney charge that schoolmarm slut with assault.
Believing themselves safe now, Smoke Jensen and his small band of drovers pushed the herd on northward the next morning. Shortly before noon, the missing horses returned under the guidance of Cheyenne warriors. The animals rejoined the gather without complaint. Smoke spoke words of thanks in the Cheyenne tongue and wished them well.
You can talk that stuff?
Sure. Learned it young. It's an easy language.
Could you teach it to me?
Yeah, we won't be together long enough for you to get it all. I can teach you a few words, some expressions. Would you like that?
Would I?
Smoke's confidence only increased when they made 34 miles for the day. He located some herbs and blended them with sage leaves. This he had given to Gertrude Olson over the objections of her mother. By noonan, Trudy showed obvious signs of improvement. Smoke dosed her again. By evening, she was sitting up and took some broth. She drank water thirstily to replace that loss to the diarrhea. Delia restrained her in that endeavor and smiled for the first time since the child had taken sick. She even went so far as to apologize to Smoke.
I think you saved her life. I want to say that I'm sorry for the way I snapped at you. It was grossly unfair. Why didn't you try the herbs earlier?
Well, there weren't any of the right ones around, and you weren't desperate enough to allow me to use them.
Why, that's a terrible thing to say. I would do anything for my children.
Even if the remedy came from an Indian medicine man.
I never thought of that.
I did.
Smoke. I feel foolish.
Yeah, not at all. You're just a very protective mother. That's a good sign. Your children know it and appreciate what you do for them. Now, I think Trudy needs more rest.
Thank you again. And I am sorry.
It's all in where you grew up.
That night, everyone slept soundly for the first time since the herd had been rustled. Smoke Jensen would soon find out how beneficial that had been.
We'll do it the way we did it before.
Reno Jim Urien spoke to his gang.
It worked then, no reason it won't work now. What we're after is the horses. Never mind the men unless they offer resistance.
What kind of resistance can one man and some brats give us?
Yeah, you have a point, Yancey. But from the tracks we've seen, it looks like Jensen picked up some replacements somewhere. Be prepared for trouble.
Hub Volker addressed the man who would be with him.
We're split off now. Swing around on the flanks. And when the boss is in place in front of the herd, he and five of the boys will charge the herd. We swing down from the side and start pushing them back along the trail. Now those on the other side will hit at the same time. Get a moving.